And thanks. We will depart a little bit from exactly the solar corridor. We're going to talk about radiation use efficiency. Go back in a few years. I spent most of my dissertation a few years ago wandering inside of corn canopies, and Harold did too, looking at how plants captured light and utilized that relative to photosynthetic activity and everything else. And Leroy pointed it out that we really do have this whole focus on how much do we capture in terms of light that's out there, and how much do we efficiently convert that light into biomass or yield. And we've spent a lot of time on that over the last years, looking at just really what can we build out of cropping systems to begin to change this overall dynamic. And so when we look at this piece of this, and I'll just look at, I'll start it out with crop diversity, because if we think about radiation use efficiency, it's basically just that relationship between biomass and light captured. And we've built this whole system because we don't really go and measure light interception at the bottom of the canopies anymore. We actually do it all with remote sensing techniques, because if you've been in Midwestern corn canopies, you find out that they're really not very pleasant canopies to be in. Dew points run about 78 degrees, heat indices of 140 degrees, and when it's pollinating, it's really miserable in there. And so we do it everything from all above anymore. It's a lot faster, it's a lot easier, and it's a lot more fun. But I'll just show you four different crops in this, in terms of radiation use efficiency. Four different years. This is corn up at the top. This is relative to yields. Here's wheat down at the bottom. And then we pick up some soybeans and canola as well, as we've had it in there. In the C3 plants, we're not getting as much biomass and much yield production as we are relative to corn. And so corn really is, from a standpoint, a very radiation use efficient system when you think about the Midwestern environments in all of this. So the question we often ask is, why do these differences exist within these crops? A lot of it's just due to the physiology of the crop that's out there. But I'll come back and look and say, dispel all your nice theories and point out the fact that these are differences among years as well. And if you look at this, this is corn from 2010 to 2012. This is 2010, this is 2011, this is 2012. And this is the total intercepted through the whole season that we've been effective in. And there are reasons for why we see radiation use efficiency differences among years. And if you remember, 2012, that was the last year of the drought. We now replace 1988 with another year to talk about. So the 2012 is that we had a really good response. A, we had lots of light. Problem is, we didn't have any water. But we did have a plant canopy that intercepted a lot of light in this, but we didn't have the capability late in the season to convert it into grain yield. If we'd have had 3 or 4 more inches of water in that profile with this amount of light in the Midwest, we'd have had corn yields that were 22,000 kilograms per hectare or something like that, if you just look at that line that's out there. Grain filling periods, we get fairly efficient in terms of this conversion. So when you think about the overall concept that we've been talking about this morning, it's really about how do we think about efficiently capturing light that we're converting into biomass or grain yield and all of this. And we have some conflicting factors. Merle talked a little bit about the water dynamics going on within this system. Bob has talked a little bit about just what's happening within the soil from this perspective. And I'll just show you a soybean canopy as well in terms of these same 3 years. If I'd have stopped at 2010 and 2011, I'd had a really great relationship. It's that water dynamic that messes this whole relationship up. And again, you flip it back up, and if we had water and this much light, we'd have been at 5,000 or 6,000 kilograms, or even higher in terms of grain yield that's out there. But we've used this technique, and we can use it fairly efficiently in being able to understand the dynamics of what's going on with crop canopies. And so we do know that radiation use efficiency varies among crops, and it's really about the physiology of that crop, that they vary among years because unless you have a perfect growing season, do you have water limitations? You can do it with nutrient limitations. But the water use or the radiation use efficiency also depends on the growth stage of that crop. We get a different relationship if we think about just looking at the grain yield part of that. How efficiently does that light get converted into grain at the end of the season relative to how we grow that canopy through the overall life cycle of that crop? So we've been asking a number of different questions in all of this, sparked a lot by the solar corridor, sparked a lot by different planting arrangements that we have out there. And so one of the first questions is, how can we enhance radiation use efficiency by capturing more light in the canopy and converting it to biomass? You know, just that simple thing of saying, all right, if I've got all of this sunlight out here, how do I get it captured and efficiently converted? And the other piece that then goes with that is, does the solution lie in morphological or physiological approaches? Do I just merely change the shape of the canopy? Do I merely change the planting configuration? Or do I fundamentally have to change the physiology of that plant in terms of photosynthetic capture? And then looking at this from a different viewpoint, what's the difference between stress avoidance and stress tolerance when we get into radiation use efficiency? Because we're looking in now at this coupling between plant canopy stands and how it's responding in terms of this efficiency of this light conversion that's out there. And if you look at this morphologically, you go back and you can say, you know, what's canopy architecture? Harold mentioned this at the very beginning, is that we've had a dramatic change in canopy morphology of corn over time. We've gone from very plantophile leaves to very upright leaves. Part of that has come from the fact that as you breed for higher and higher populations, you automatically select for upright leaves from that viewpoint. But there's a concept that Donald wrote about in 1968, and you have to go back and read the old literature, that talked about plant idiotypes and actually proposed what the ideal morphology of plants ought to be. And Donald was an Australian, so he worked on wheat from that standpoint. But he built this concept to help primary relative to crop breeding to say what are the desirable morphological traits, and looking at the biological yield and harvest index and how do plants convert, switch over in terms of grain yield relative to plant biomass and all of this. And it really, I think we need to go back and look at the whole concept of idiotypes in the current state of what we're thinking about for the whole solar corridor, higher populations, and all of this, because if you look at this dynamic from a different viewpoint, is that we haven't spent enough time on the morphology. And now we see this great enamoration of going back to phenotyping and all of this, and I think that we've got to go back and say, what's the efficient use of this relative to, say, light capture, water use dynamics, and how do we convert that into yield at the end of the season? And so what we looked at, and I'll just show you some dynamics of what's going on, because we've been spending a lot of time looking at different systems out there. This is just normalized difference vegetative index. It's just a ratio of near-infrared over red over the sum of those. And what we began to notice, and this is just three different systems. This is chisel plow, no-till, and strip-till. Is that we can influence biomass by how we look at the rate of that light interception during the vegetative part of that season. And so we pick up a part in which we increase biomass by how we increase the light capture in there. But in corn, we see this as tasseling, and then we see a decrease in the vegetative index during the grain filling period, because here's the effect of tassels. We basically, in our corn, we reflect a lot of light back out. The good news is that in modern hybrids, we reflect a lot less light back than some of the older hybrids. If you look at some of the older hybrids in terms of reflectance in there, we actually had about a 10% increase in reflection because tassels were much larger, they were much brighter in color. Current tassels are much smaller and darker in color. But we can, we're back looking at these data right here, some of the yield increases that the geneticists have come up with may actually just be a fact of reduced tassel size that increased light capture. That'll be a big blow to the geneticist that, you know, he's just changed tassel size and you had more photosynthetic activity and that's why you got grain yield. And actually, I think it accounts for about 30% of the grain yield increases if you just do the light capture piece from that standpoint. And so we can look at this and say, you know, how do these things respond over time in this? We see the same thing in soybeans, and I just took the same indices, and this is the conventional till and strip till and no-till, and I just put the biomass. And if you look at the biomass at this point in time, the beginning of pod set, is that this one had the higher biomass, and then this one, we had chisel, no-till, and strip-till. But yield at the end of the season in 2012, and the reason we used the 2012 is we ran out of water. And now it became water-dependent, and we didn't have any water to search for in there. And what we end up with is actually, you flip it back and forth, is that we had more water left in the strip till because we didn't grow as much biomass. We still had that water reserve in there, and so we kind of flipped it around. The chisel plow fell apart from that standpoint because we'd used all the water out of the profile to grow biomass, and then we didn't have any water basically to grain yield. You have to be very careful in terms of radiation use efficiency because a standing plant still absorbs light, but not necessarily converts it into grain for lots of different reasons that are out there. So early season growth, we can manipulate the row spacing to increase the rate of light capture. And in the solar quarter, we got to be very careful that we're not measuring the whole 10 square meters across there, but what happens within that row in terms of the efficiency of that plant and then within that row as well. We can change the morphology of that crop to increase light capture, and that's, in fact, what we see with some of the hybrids that we've looked at, is that in corn, if we really want to improve that, we go back to a plantophile structure, the floppy, flat leaves at the beginning of the growing season, because that captures light, and then you go to more erect leaves during the season to change the light distribution within the canopy. And so it's really about how do you balance both of those in terms of hybrids? And then if we could get rid of the tassel, which would be not the right way to go, but if you could get rid of the tassel at the end, then you could improve light capture as well. But the assumption is that light capture translates to increased growth. And it's not as simple as that, because if you go back and look at radiation use efficiency, is that those are predicated on having adequate water and having adequate nutrients in all of this. And if we change those two parameters at all, we change the whole shape of that curve in terms of the dynamic from that standpoint. We see the same thing. We see the effect of tassels. We do see a very pronounced increase of reflectance due to morphological features above the flag leaf. Heads in wheat, heads in sorghum, tassels in corn, all influence the amount that light capture goes on. And we see it both in the red and near-infrared reflectance, that we're just basically changing the radiation regime in that. And so we actually do reflect a lot of that light back out to the season. The physiological changes, both from morphological as well as stress, is if you just look at the ET curve, if you look at the stomatal resistance and aerodynamic resistance in there, is that I think that as we look at the physiological changes in all of this, is that we need to get back to some of the dynamics of what happens within that canopy in terms of the changes that are out there, because those two parameters become the governing part of how morphology and physiology are relating together relative to stresses, and we can look at that piece. Just to give you another piece, and this is growth patterns in soybeans, is that we see, again, these are different tillage systems that are out there. Biomass at full cover is related to how much light we capture at that point in time. And we can look at all of this relative to cumulative light fraction. So we actually can mimic lots of curves very quickly in terms of doing this. So it gives us a whole new system out there that you don't have to go through and measure at the bottom of the canopy from that standpoint. If you look at radiation use efficiency, we see a major contrast among years due to water availability throughout the growing season, and the water dynamics, even in rain-fed areas. Bob talked about excessive water in the spring. That changes the whole dynamics. Low water in the end of the season changes the dynamics. Early season radiation use efficiency doesn't necessarily translate to increased yield all the way through because of water limitations. But we do see an increased reflectance and a decreasing efficiency of radiation use efficiency during the grain filling period, particularly in corn and wheat, just because of the morphological features that we have. So here's our challenges. I think, is that we have to utilize radiation use efficiency to compare among genetic material to evaluate the ability to produce biomass and yield. We've done some screening with that. We're continuing to do some screening with a number of different inbreds. And then we have to couple light interception with other measures of plant stress. We can go back and use canopy temperatures, thermal infrared to look at canopy stress from a different viewpoint, that we can now begin to quantify the efficiency of plants to tolerate stress or be resilient to stress. How do we adapt or how do we avoid all of these pieces? So it's a matter now in terms of moving to the next plateau in radiation use efficiency is how do we combine multiple sequences of information across that to say how that plant's really responding and how do we look at it relative to the dynamics that are going on. So with that, thank you.